Hello, welcome to another episode of Unpacking Neuro Queerness. In this episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about Autism Awareness and Acceptance Month, which is the month of April. I did a similar episode to this one last year, but you know, here we are again, about to start April again, and I have a lot more listeners now than I did last year, so there are a lot of people that probably didn't have the chance to listen to that episode from last year, so I'm going to do a similar episode for this year. So April can be a tough month for autistic advocates, and some people would wonder why, because it is Autism Acceptance Month, so you would expect it to be a good month for us, because you would expect it to be a month where a lot of people are listening to what we have to say and trying to make the world a better place for us. However, historically, that has not been the case. Historically, when Autism Awareness Month originated, and it used to be called just Autism Awareness Month, it was with the narrative of praising parents of autistic kids for being superhero autism moms or autism dads, which is basically praising them for the so-called burden of raising a disabled child, which is very harmful to autistic people such as myself and others, especially those with high support needs, because it makes us feel like a burden. It makes us feel like, oh, you know, like we're praising, like our parents are getting praised for dealing with us, essentially. It's like because they wish we weren't disabled, which is very ableist. And people don't even realize, because there's so much emphasis on only the struggles that come with autism, and the fact that sometimes they're just little changes. Like, sometimes what really needs to happen is people need to be better accommodated, and I understand that it's frustrating because, you know, and this was the case for my parents too, like advocating to get your child accommodations in school can be really frustrating when the school is not willing to provide them, and when the system that we live in, the society that we live in general, does not provide enough accommodations to autistic people. But we have to acknowledge that the fault of the lack of accommodations, of the lack of support, of the struggles that autistic people go through is not entirely due to their autism. It is due largely to the way that society has not accommodated autistic people, and how society does not provide enough resources. Most institutions do not provide enough resources to support autistic people in the ways that they need to be supported, that we need to be supported. So historically, a lot of the narrative around this month has been centered around trying to cure and trying to treat autistic people as if we had some kind of disease, as if we were a disease that needed to be treated and eradicated and corrected and cured. And the reality is, we are people. We just have different support needs, and we just need to be accommodated, and we have different communication styles. We don't need to be molded into neurotypicals. A lot of us don't want to be molded into neurotypicals. A lot of us don't want to be cured. We just want to be accepted, included, and accommodated, and have our different ways of being and thinking and existing honored. And so that's why a lot of us, including myself, have started calling Autism Awareness Month Autism Acceptance Month, or even Autism Acceptance and Awareness Month. Because I do acknowledge that in order to have acceptance, we do need to have more awareness and understanding. It's just the right kind of awareness. We don't want the kind of awareness that's like portraying our disability as some sort of disease, where we need to be corrected and treated, and we're usually given very little autonomy and voice over how we want to be accommodated. It's a lot of gaslighting that occurs on the part of medical professionals that a lot of times are not, do not receive much training on autism and neurodiversity at all, and have very, very dated, very stigmatized, very stereotypical ideas of what autism is supposed to look like. And they don't usually recognize that autism is a spectrum of different support needs to different intensities, and even those support needs can vary day to day. They can be dynamic. So that's why I talk so much on this podcast about how important it is to understand that autistic people communicate in different ways, and not make assumptions about what someone is trying to tell you based on anything that's not what they're actually saying, because neurotypicals tend to focus a lot on nonverbal cues, which autistics don't usually use, and an autistic person might be communicating something very directly to the point with the best wording possible, and our faces don't always match what we're saying, so the person might be paying more attention to, if we're talking to a neurotypical person, they might be paying more attention to our faces instead of what we're actually trying to communicate, and then they might accuse us of being untruthful or of communicating something completely different than what we're actually saying. That's just one example of how our communication styles differ. And so that's one of the main things, that's like the first thing you can do if you want to better understand and support your autistic friend or family member, is to honor our communication styles. Moving on, listen to our experiences and listen to how we feel and what we want and what we need, even if they challenge what you've been taught about autism or what you've heard or what you've seen in movies and TV shows or whatnot. Remember to listen to our experiences. Also, help us advocate for change. Probably the most important thing that I can't stress enough is that please help us advocate for change by reaching out to schools, businesses, community organizations, supermarkets. A classic example of an accommodation that could be made at supermarkets is sensory hours, where the lights are dimmed and the music is lowered and there are less people allowed in the market, because sensory overload and overstimulation is one of the top things that autistic people struggle with, especially in environments like supermarkets. And so that's one example that I always talk about. Instead of worrying, because I see this narrative out there, like with the eugenics research, with the people that defend treatments and cures and whatnot, they say that it's because they worry about, let's say Johnny, which is a high, let's say this hypothetical high support needs autistic child named Johnny that has high sensory sensitivities that they worry about him being able to, they want him to not have sensory, they want to like desensitize him because they worry about him not being able to thrive in this world. But I ask the question of, well, why don't you advocate for a more inclusive world? Why don't, instead of worrying about, oh, will Johnny ever be able to go to the supermarket, and making Johnny, and putting the burden and the responsibility of that change on Johnny, that is already dealing with being stressed out and overload, and he shouldn't have to desensitize himself in order to fit the world. We want the world to be more accommodating to Johnny. And see, if we just have, if Johnny's local supermarket, with enough help from the non-autistic people around him, if they advocated for Johnny's local supermarket to have sensory hours, well, that isn't, Johnny's sensory sensitivities are no longer an issue. So that's just one example of how people can help. And another huge thing, as I wrap up, because this is going to be a pretty short episode, one of the main things I tell people also is, call out people on their microaggressions and or ableism when they're speaking about autistic people, especially, and otherwise disabled people for that matter, especially when the autistic person or the disabled person is not there to defend themselves. When we are not there to defend ourselves, and you are there, and someone that you know, especially if it's someone that you have a relationship with, be it a friend or a distant family member or whatnot, says something that is ableist, or that definitely would be perceived as a microaggression by your autistic friend or family member, please call them out, and please politely educate them on why what they said is problematic. Because if we don't do that, if we don't stand up for our friends and family members, if you guys don't do that, my community and I will continue to suffer through these microaggressions, and ableism will continue to be rampant. And it's like, people are affected by this, and ableism is such a massive systemic force and issue that sadly, it's unlikely that ableism will be completely dismantled in one person's lifetime. Like, by the end of my lifetime, decades, hopefully many decades from now, we might still be fighting this fight. And people don't realize that neurodivergent people have been fighting this fight for many decades already. And the term neurodiversity was coined in the 1990s, and people have been advocating with different terms and different terminology since way before then. The disability rights movement was in the 1970s, and yes, we have the ADA now, and yes, we have more accommodations, but the ADA is not perfect, and the ADA still does not include people with hidden disabilities, people that aren't able to access a diagnosis. Not every business is required to comply with the ADA. There are still a lot of places that do not have accessible ramps for people in wheelchairs and accommodations for other kinds of disabilities. Yes, the ADA is huge, and it's definitely something that should be celebrated, but it is not complete. There is so much more work to be done to get true inclusion. So that's essentially what I wanted to talk about today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope it was helpful for you. Thank you for all those who have stayed on for this long. I know I get kind of all over the place when I'm making my points sometimes, but eventually I always get around to what I want to say. So yeah, I just wanted to thank everyone once again for listening. I hope you got something out of this, and I'll see you next time.